Welcome to our midweek service at Calvary Gospel Church. If this is your first time here, we just are so glad you're here as a guest, and we just want to let you know that we'd like to get to know you a little bit better. If you wouldn't mind stopping by our Welcome Center on your way out, we'd just like to collect a couple points of information for you, and we also have a free gift for you. If you're visiting online, the same thing, that bit.ly link at the bottom of your screen, you can follow that, and we would get connected with you that way as well. There are four ways to give at Calvary Gospel Church. We just want to remind you of those things. You can give online at cgcmadison.org/giving. You can always give in person. If you want to place your offering in one of the boxes on your way into the sanctuary, you can give by mail, by mailing a check, or probably not cash, to 5301 Commercial Avenue. Or you can always give on the mobile giving app. It's very convenient. You can download it on your smartphone and just enter in a little bit of information and now to get you started. If you need help with that, you can see one of the pastoral staff after the service. We want to remind everybody to be in prayer for our kids who are at kids camp right now. And then next week, there's going to be the junior high camp and then also the senior high camp after that. And then family camp will be starting up the first week of July. Awesome. All right, let's all stand. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. There's been a lot of people in and out of the hospital, procedures, dealing with cancers and different things like that. So many of them. We just want to go to the Lord in prayer and just ask God to intervene on all of these people's behalf. Ask Him, God, to touch their bodies, heal them from whatever sickness is happening. And also there's been some families who've had some types of troubles. And we want to pray for some of those families. Some of those are probably should be unspoken, but we want to remember them today as God continues to intervene on their behalf. If you have a need right now, would you just lift up your hand to the Lord right now? We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. If you wouldn't mind just praying out loud, we're going to pray out loud together, believing that God can do anything in this service. God, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to touch every single heart, every single mind here, every single body, Lord Jesus, that's come into the sanctuary. Maybe they're dealing with sickness, God. Maybe they're dealing with family issues, God. Whatever it is, God, we ask you to touch, to intervene, oh God, on their behalf, Lord God, to intercede, God, to heal, to bless them, Lord God. We ask you to touch, Lord Jesus, every single situation that's been lifted up here by those who have their hand in the air. God, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to meet them where their faith is, Lord, right now in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord Jesus. You may be seated. Would you just worship with us for the next few moments?
Nothing matters more than just to sit here. empty space. Come abide in this place. Every heart you are gentle.
Draw near to us.
Just when you have your way, something has to break. I feel it in this room. Holy Spirit, move. Cause when you have your way, something has to break. So tear down.
Praise the Lord, church. Such a sweet presence of the Lord in worship. Thank you so much to our worship team for creating such a beautiful atmosphere here tonight. You can be seated this evening. I'm Pastor Roy Grant. If you're a guest of ours, it's so great to have you here. We are in a series, and we're talking about living the everyday principles of faith. And this past Sunday, we had our Father's Day, and Brother Peter Sandin and had our Father's Day service, and thank you, had a great service. and had a great panel of men, and it was exciting to listen, to watch, and observe. God is so good, and it's just awesome how he brings us all together. We can learn from one another, and if you're here, you're going through a struggle. There's probably someone in this building that has gone through a very similar struggle, so don't feel like you're in this all alone. A lot of times as a pastor, I'm asked this question, and probably asked it more than any other question, and that is, why is this happening to me? Have you ever asked yourself that question, going through life and things happen, and we just wonder, why me? Why is this happening to me? I don't understand this. I thought I was doing what was right. I thought I was pursuing, doing God's will. I thought I was doing everything that I'm supposed to be doing, but now I'm ready to just say, I quit. I'm done. I'm done with the struggle. I'm done with the fight. I don't know why I'm here. I don't know why I'm having to deal with this. Does that sound familiar to you at any time in your life? You see, when we don't understand things in life, when we don't understand what's happening to us, we have a tendency as humanity to kind of develop this fight or flight. Either we're going to stand our ground and we're going to fight, and we don't always understand what we're fighting about, or we're just going to basically say, I'm going to cut my losses and I'm going to flee. I'm going to get out of here. You see, when we don't understand certain things, when we don't understand faith, when I'm not claiming here tonight that I understand everything about faith. We've been talking about the principles of faith, trying to introduce these in a way that we can live these principles every day. It's not just from moment to moment or from crisis to crisis. When we have a crisis in our faith, and we want our faith to increase, I believe God wants us to live everyday principles of faith. So when we don't understand the principles of faith, sometimes we can become depressed. We can get frustrated. I know in my own life, I've been frustrated over some of this, and at times I've even been resentful. And at times I've worried about it, and sometimes we become fearful about the future. And worst of all, we won't always be able to cooperate with what God wants to do in our lives. We become our own stumbling block for what God is trying to do in our lives. We look at the here and the now. We see ourselves in the current situation we're in, but God sees the whole picture. God sees it. He's looking at our lives from a vantage point that we never, ever get to see ourselves in. But when we understand or begin to understand the principles, or we begin to understand the various phases, or perhaps we could call levels of faith that God takes every one of us through at one time or another in our lives, and he takes us through these over and over and over and over again. Then when we recognize this and we understand this, we can look and say, I know right exactly where I am at this moment in my journey of faith. It's very much like a GPS map in your car. These principles that we're going to get in tonight will tell us right where we are, so that we can better understand what's going on in our lives, around our lives, and we can understand better what God is trying to do in us and through us, and we will be less likely to get discouraged when those tough times come. So our passage we've been reading from in this series is Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, reading from the King James Version. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You may hear that tonight. You may say, well, I'm really not for sure what all that means, Pastor. I don't quite understand that. Let me read this in the Phillips version, and we don't have this on our overhead, but I'll read this. And it says, now faith means putting our full confidence in the things we hope for. It means being of certain things we cannot see. It was this kind of faith that won their reputation for the saints of old. And it is, after all, only by faith that our minds accept as fact the whole scheme of time and space was created by God's command, and the world which we can see has come into being through principles which are invisible. In the beginning, we read in Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning, God created. An invisible force creates something that is visible, something that is tangible. An invisible force like God that we can't see, but we can hear, we can feel. We can feel his touch. We can feel his presence. He's all around us. He's in us. These principles which are invisible, by God's command, the world which we can see has come into being. All of this through faith. So far in our study, we've talked about faith taking action. Pastor Peter spoke on our family night earlier in this month about faith in action. We talked about how fear, having fear in our hearts, fear is something that is a natural emotion, if we could put it that way, that we all deal with from time to time. Fear is when that bear, you're on your hike and you're out in the wilderness and you come around the corner maybe on a hike or on your bicycle and standing right in the middle of the path is a big black bear and two cubs. That's fear that you begin to feel. Then you turn and you begin to run and you begin to pedal very quickly. That's just being in good shape, and that's where survival takes over and courage perhaps steps in. But faith takes action, but fear cancels action. Caring what people think cancels action. We live in a world today where I read an article today of some person, that, I don't know exactly who they were, but they were bragging on how much they love the cancel culture, because if you say something they don't like or agree with, they can just cancel you. So I cancel them. Craving comfort over your calling cancels action. We love our comfort. We love being comfortable. We don't always like it when God is calling us to do something at a greater level or at a different capacity, and we don't like change. Faith produces doers. Faith must work. It must produce. It must be visible. And faith turns straight to God and away from those things in the world. So tonight we're going to get right into the various levels, phases, principles of faith, and how they take their role in pursuing God's dream. And then what we're going to do is we're going to cover a couple, and then Sunday morning we're going to cover another four of them, which will be six of them. And these are six principles of faith, and then we're going to take a short break from this, because I'm going to be having ankle surgery on Tuesday of next week. So I will not be able to walk for at least 2 weeks. And then they're going to have a cast on my ankle. And they basically are telling me that they want me to stay put for 4 weeks. And then between 4 and 6 weeks, they want to start with some sort of physical therapy. Not for sure what that's all going to be involved in. And then from the 6 week to 10 week, it'll be just recuperating, getting back into the just walking and doing life again. And then after 10 weeks, I can drive again. Can you imagine that? Can't drive for 10 weeks. That's like after my birthday in August. So if any of you get bored, and you got nothing to do, just give me a call. Come pick me up. Help me get in your car, and we'll just go for a ride. You know, Dairy Queen, I don't know, root beer. I guess like Mount Horeb's got a nice root. I mean, so anyway, so we will return after my, I'm not for sure how long it's going to be, hiatus. And we're going to come back in and wrap this up. We'll have a little bit of a recap, but we're going to wrap this up, and we're going to take the six principles that we're learning tonight and Sunday, and we're going to put them into what I would call real-life application based on the life of Abraham. It's not going to be a real lengthy ending. It'll be a couple weeks, and then we'll move on. But Abraham is, not by any coincidence, is called the father of the faithful. And we will dig deeper into each of these phases as I work our way through the series. But we have to understand something about God. And this is one of the things that maybe frustrates me about God, and that is God always starts with a plan. God, everything God does, he starts with a plan. There's a process that God uses, and it's his plan, by the way. It's not always my plan. When I sit down with God and we have these conversations about, God, where do you want us to go next, or where do you want me to go next, and I present God my best laid out plan, and then he just kind of sits there and doesn't say anything. You ever have those conversations with God? You lay it all out and you say, God, you got this is awesome. All you got to do is this, this, and this, and man, we're in. We're free. Full speed ahead. And we don't hear anything, Brother Carey. And we're like, well, Lord, what was wrong with my plan? And God just simply, sometimes, if we could just imagine him sitting there with his arms crossed, kind of shaking his head like, well, I see things a little bit different. So when we look at God's plan, God always starts with a plan, and it's his plan. We look at creation. It was God's plan. God didn't call a huddle in heaven and said, okay, I want to get a consensus here with all the angels here in heaven. I'm thinking on building a solar system, and you'll figure it out when you see it. But I don't know if I should have one sun or have two suns or have each planet with a sun. I mean, what do you think? I mean, no, God had it. He had it all sorted out. He didn't need Michael. He didn't need Gabriel. He didn't need the rest of the angels to give him pointers on, well, maybe you need to add a little more oxygen to that atmosphere. Maybe, you know, I heard about gravity. Maybe we need to put gravity in there to keep these people from just falling off into space. No, it was God's plan. It was God's alone, and it was good. So principle number one is God's plan always seems to start with a dream. So how does God build our faith? God starts with a dream. Now nothing happens until you and I start dreaming. We have to get an idea. We have to get a vision. We have to have a goal. We have to have a target. And when God begins to do a work in your life, and he begins to do a work in my life, and we're talking about everyday principles of building our faith, we're not looking at the very end of the process, but we're looking at the very beginning of the process. Understand, we can have in our lifetime, we can have multiple faith journeys. I've heard this talked a lot about, I'm on this faith journey. And faith journeys can come and faith journeys can end, and we take what we've learned and we apply it to the next aspect or the next phase of our lives. So every one of these journeys can be different. It's different for me than it is for you, but God seemingly always likes to work in a very consistent, similar pattern. He gives us a dream about what he wants us to do and the impact he wants you and I to have in our world. We have to understand that our dream, our calling,
or our purpose. So we have that dream, that calling, that purpose. How does one begin to figure out God's dream for your life? Jesus sums it up in Mark 8:35 in the NLT. He says, if you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will save it. So how do we know if we're living for our dream or God's dream? You see, sometimes we think about life that we were just created to get up, to go to work, to come home, mow the grass, shovel the snow, go to the grocery store, go to bed, make a little money, retire, and then we die. How many of you have ever heard that, talked about that? Yeah, yeah. You live, you're born, you work hard, you retire, and then you die. Now, do you really think that's why God put us on this planet? If you think that's all God put you here for, that might be all you get out of it. But you see, I believe that God put us here for a lot more than just to be born and to live 70 years, which is 70 years, and then we die. I think we have a lot more. If your dream is truly from God, it will somehow be connected to his body, his church, and his plan for the world. Why would God give you a self-centered dream unconnected to what he wants to do in the world? You see, God has this crazy idea that everything about this is about him. It's because it is. It's not my world, it's his world. He created this not for my pleasure, my survivability, but he created all this for his pleasure. So God wants to use you and I in his dream. You see, God has a dream. Sometimes we think we're the only ones that dreams, but God has a dream and God has a plan. And we have to understand God is building his family. Did you know that? This is interesting to me to look at it this way, but God right now is building his family. He's preparing a place for his family to have the ultimate family reunion, the ultimate meal, the ultimate dinner, the ultimate accommodations for his family. His family that will be free from pain, it will be free from sin, it will be free from tears, it will be free from sickness, from death. It's his family in his paradise, and he's collecting members of his family every day, all across this world. People are repenting, people are being baptized in the name of Jesus, and people are being filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, and this is all part of God's plan. It's God's dream. It's been God's dream since the very beginning. He's building a family. He's collecting family members from every nation, every tribe, every language, every people group. And when everybody in the family, when he's picked his family and he says, okay, I'm done selecting my family, then he's going to sound the signal and says, okay, it's over. It's done with. So many times we say, I don't have time for dreams. When's the last time that you had dreams? And I'm not talking about too much late night spicy food dreams. I'm talking about dreams from God. You see, I love how that my God is a dreamer. I love how that he has this incredible vision. And it is so big. But God gives us dreams. When's the last time you had an aspiration that was so big that it seemed almost impossible? that God had given you a dream that was so big that it just sounded ridiculous. But for many of us, it's been a long time since we've allowed ourselves to dream. And as we get older and the journey through life, I think we begin to shut down our dream factory in favor of a job, in favor of to-do lists, in favor of family obligations. And all of those are part of life and are necessary. But I believe that we are missing out on so much more that God wants for us. I talk about big dreams. So oftentimes, big dreams require us to have faith that God will give us the tools and the resources that we need to complete them. And big dreams require us to exercise our faith. Plain and simple, cutting ourselves off from dreaming hampers our faith. A very interesting encounter on faith we find in Matthew chapter 17, where the disciples and Jesus, they met a boy who was possessed by a demonic spirit. The disciples had previously met him, but were unable to do anything for this boy. And Jesus ordered the boy to be brought to him, and the demonic spirit immediately left, and the boy was made whole. And the disciples asked Jesus, "Why couldn't we help this boy?" And Jesus responds, he says, "Because you are not yet taking God seriously." The simple truth is that if you had a mere kernel of faith, a poppy seed, say you would tell this mountain, "Move," and it would move. There is nothing you wouldn't be able to tackle. You see, for some of us, allowing ourselves to dream is not easy. Some 17 years ago, God planted a dream in my heart, and he placed people and situations in my path that made it abundantly clear that he was calling me to exercise my faith and follow after this dream. And I have to tell you, church, that has been an extremely difficult challenge for me. But right before Jesus went into heaven after his resurrection, we call it the Great Commission. I'd like to call it God's Great Dream, because that's exactly what it is. It's a commission to us, but it's God's dream. And we find in this dream, Jesus states, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit, teaching these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." This great dream, this great commission is our commission. It's our purpose, but it is God's plan. It is God's dream. We've had 2,000 years of building this family. And how many people are in this family? I would say over those 2,000 years, it numbers well up into the millions. It's bigger than anything on this planet because God created it. It's the whole purpose that we even have history. So when God gives you a dream for your life, I want you to understand something. It's going to be connected somehow with his overarching plan. It's connected to the growth of his kingdom and his family until the day it's completed and we're all taken out of here to heaven. You see, we were not placed on this planet to live for ourselves. God had a dream. God had a dream. And in Matthew 28, 19, and 20, Jesus took that dream and he began to take and put action to that dream. Our commission, our purpose, God's plan, his dream. So our number one step of faith is to have a dream. The next step of faith in this process is equally important. And that is principle number two, is decision. We have to have a dream, and then we have to make a choice. We have a decision to make. God gives us a dream. God gives us a plan. And now we've got to make a decision on what are we going to do with this. You see, nothing will happen to your dream until you wake up physically and spiritually, until you wake up and put it into action. Faith requires action. Faith won't do anything without action. For every dozen dreamers in this world, there's only one out of 12 that actually take that dream and make a decision to do something about their dream. The only way to move forward in faith is we have to decide to take a risk. Remember that doubt is the enemy of our imagination. Doubt is the enemy of faith. Doubt is a destroyer of our faith. James, in his book, in the New Testament, reading from the NIV this evening, James 1, 5 through 7, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given unto you. But when you ask, you must believe. There's action. Believe is an action word. It's a verb. And no doubt, because no one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind, that person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Doubt is the enemy of our faith. When I was a kid, grew up, the bulk of my life, just right down the road here on Felon Road. You pull out of the parking lot, you take a right, and it's the very next left, the third house on the left. It was 4873 Felon Road. That's where we grew up here when I left home and got married. And I had a great imagination when I was a kid. It didn't matter to me if I was by myself and nobody wanted to play with me that day. I could go outside and I could take any kind of a stick. I could tool it. I loved to play army, and I all the trees were my friends or my enemies, and I had foxholes and rocks and forts. I played in the fields all the way where Tom and Diane Nelson live now. I mean, we used to play in those fields and play in their woods long before they owned them, and we would take and ride our horses. My dad, not for sure why, well, I'm thankful that he bought us horses, but I don't think he ever realized what we did with those horses. But we would ride those horses over to the interstate. There's a gravel quarry, a number of quarries back behind where United Brick and Block is. We would take our horses swimming in those gravel quarries, and we would hang on to the tails, and those horses would water way over our heads. I have no idea how deep the water was. Could have been 20 feet deep, could have been 200. I have no idea. It was a gravel quarry. And we would go swimming in there, and we would be soaking wet, and we would take the horses. We never had saddles. We couldn't afford a saddle. We rode bareback, and we would take the bridles, and we would throw them back onto the horse, and we would go over to the interstate, and we didn't want to ride all the way down the Lean Road and go underneath the underpass and around, and there was a culvert. probably five and a half foot high by 5.5 foot wide-ish, went underneath all 4, 5, 6 lanes, whatever there is of interstate. And we would lay down on our horses and let them ride, walk us through those culverts under the interstate. Never even thought about what would happen if we got halfway through and the horse decided to rear up. We trusted them. They trusted us. We'd go over to Easttown, and every now and then, Dad would give us a dollar, and we would cherish that dollar, and we would go to Aladdin's Castle. Now, there's no place to tie your horses off at Easttown Mall, but we made good use of the bike rack right up front. People walk out of the mall, and here there'd be two horses tied up to the bike rack, and we'd go in and play two games at Aladdin's Castle and had enough money left over to go over to Hot Sam's and get a pretzel. And we just thought we were just, that was just high cotton living. We'd come out of there filthy, dirty, wet, ride back home, all the way home, and we were pretending we were cowboys and Indians, and we were just anything, everything. We just, imagination, just run wild. But you see, life has a way of sometimes stealing away those imaginations. The older we get, our imagination seemingly grows dimmer. And to all of those folks that are, I would say maybe the 40-plus folks that are here today, I want you to grasp this next statement. We stop imagining what things could be, and we just start living the way they are. We stop imagining what things could be, and we start living the way they are. There's a Latin term for this. It's called the status quo. You ever heard that before? I've heard that a lot. We get stuck in the status quo, which in Latin means the mess we're in. You see, doubt and fear neutralize what God wants to do in our lives, and it takes courage to imagine. You know why most people stop imagining? Because they're afraid of failure. As I stepped into following this dream that God gave me some 17 years ago, I believe it was a God dream. And it was a faith journey, not just for myself, but it was a faith journey for all of us. I didn't understand it all at the beginning. And I remember I was scared to death at first to even share it, let alone attempt to talk about it publicly. But I just said that, you know what? I don't know how this is going to happen. I don't know when this is going to happen. I don't know who all is going to be involved in how this happens. But I determined that I'm going to do it anyway. You see, I'm going to try my best. And there are times where I've allowed fear and doubt to dominate my life. I've allowed intimidation. I've allowed the enemy into my mind. We talk about putting on the whole armor of God, and we talk about protecting our minds. This is why I'm so strong of an advocate for putting on the whole armor of God and wearing it 24/7. You see, there are nights when I sit outside under the stars and my night starts off positive in prayer, and then the more I begin to think about the daunting task at times that lies ahead, my mind goes from, my voice goes, my conversation goes from prayer and faith and believing to, God, how are we going to do this? I don't understand. And you begin to try to work things out in your own minds. Have you ever done that? And then before you know it, Sister Bella, God's right out of the picture. You're up walking around and you're beginning to fear because you don't understand. You see, I'm trying my best every day to not let fear and doubt dominate my life. So I move forward, trembling, fearful, frustrated, sometimes confused at times, but understand, courage is when one does the right thing while you are afraid. I just pray, Elder, that God will continue to give me courage. Sometimes it's doing the things we fear the most. We may wonder, should I wait until all my doubt is gone before I step in? No, sometimes we have to take and we have to move against our fear. We have fear in our minds and we say, well, I'm just going to wait until that fear subsides. And God is saying, no, I want you to move forward and I want you to drive that fear out of your mind. Drive it out of your life. Drive it out of your situation. You see, when we move against our fears, we have to ignore all the insecurity and the feelings that go with it. Our imagination, our faith is either going to be governed by fear or it's going to be governed by faith, and that is our choice. If we let our imaginations be governed by fear, then we're going to be going around getting frustrated. We're going to get frustrated with ourselves. We're going to get frustrated with God. We're going to get stressed out, and we'll begin to worry all the time. But when we allow fear to control our imaginations, or when we allow fear to control our imaginations, our faith, we will have a miserable time at life. Instead, decision. We have to decide that we are not going to allow fear to dominate. We are going to let our faith dominate. And to us, each and every one of us is given a measure of faith. Brother Dennis, whatever measure of faith God has given you, you have to allow God to use that faith. And we take Brother Dennis's faith, and when you take Brother Dave's faith, and we go all the way across this sanctuary, and everybody puts their little measure of faith into the pot. Oh, how does it grow? Especially when the Bible says that you just need a little bit, a poppy seed worth of faith to say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. We can stand this evening. Our musicians can come. One word that kind of goes along with faith. It's kind of like faith's twin brother or twin. That is trust. You're going to have faith, you're going to have trust. If you don't have trust, it's hard to have faith. They kind of go hand in hand. And I think one of our biggest things that we struggle with as Christians, and I hate to say that as Christians, but I need to add that in there, and that is trusting God. We don't always trust God the way we need to trust God. But God is calling us today to step into living faith every day, to where faith becomes a part of our lifestyle. You see, when we can trust in God, then we can move forward in faith. And we can allow our imaginations to be filled with all kinds of possibilities. Because all things are possible with God. I love what God is doing throughout this congregation. I love what God is doing in Janesville. It's faith. It's trust. I love what God is doing in Waterloo. It's faith. It's trust. I love what God is doing in McFarland. Eric, it's faith. It's trust. It's imagination. It's a dream. It's a decision. We have our group in Deerfield that meets on Wednesday nights. I was talking to Brother Neesom. They've had upwards of 17 kids in their Sunday school on Wednesday nights. Isn't that awesome? Neighbor kids from all over our neighborhood show up for Sunday school. Who would have thought Jeff and Linda Neesom would be Sunday school teachers? Teaching all those kids, but they're just loving it. Just being a grandma and grandpa to the whole neighborhood. All of this is a dream. It's not just my dream. It's God's dream. It's God's dream. Go ye therefore into all the world and preach this gospel. Teaching them about me. So tonight, a decision has to be made, and that is, am I going to accept the dream that God has called me? We're going to add four more principles to this, and these are all going to tie in very nicely with the life of Abraham. But what are we going to do with this dream, with this decision? So Sister Abby leads us into worship. I just want to, if you'd like to come down to the front and pray, you're more than welcome to. I'd like to remain where you are. That's fine. I just want all of us to begin to pray tonight and say, Lord, I want to dream again. Whatever, maybe God's given you a dream and it's so far out there. It's faded. Say, God, refresh that. Renew that. Rebuild that. And then, Lord, help me to decide, make a decision to push through into that. God bless you tonight.
In these hands and multiply, God.
Thank you so very much for coming out tonight. Beautiful day. Nice to have a little bit of rain after some of the hot weather. But there's a lot of flash flooding going on, so be careful. Living the everyday principles of faith. So the six principles that we're going to be covering in the remainder of this, we talked about dreaming, we talked about decision, deciding. We'll cover the rest of the other four on Sunday morning. So be here on Sunday morning. God bless you. Continue to pray for our kids at camp. I believe so far there have been five kids across the district that have got the Holy Ghost. We have a number of kids from our church that are up there that it's their first time to go to camp. So just pray that they'd have a great week. The staff would have a a great week, and be followed up by our junior or our first senior camp, then second senior camp. It's a split camp this year. Then we have our family camp. And how many of you are going to family camp? So enjoy it. God bless you all. Love you. Appreciate you. We'll see you back here on Sunday morning.